She only had a screwdriver, but the one she had didn't fit. Hello, I'm Richard Fox. Welcome to the best of Face to Face. Have you ever broken down in the middle of nowhere with no help in sight? It can be a frightening experience. Today, Noel Dew will be telling the true story of a friend who broke down in the desert. Find out what went through her mind as the hours passed by and how the experience changed her life.
She only had a screwdriver, and the one she had was the wrong size and shape. But even then, it wouldn't have done any good. She looked at the motorbike. It was cactus. There was a patch of thick oil seeping into the red dust, and she shivered. She thought it looked like clotted blood. She couldn't believe she was alive. She couldn't believe that she wasn't even injured. The speedo was nudging close to 200 k's as she came around the corner, and the road was smooth and inviting. In fact, the open road had always given her a sense of freedom and purpose, like each kilometre was a kilometre further from her past. She had felt invincible as she cornered. How could this happen? What had she done wrong? She looked at the bike. A jagged wound in the engine casing didn't look good. Turning back, she could still see a cloud of blue smoke hanging in the hot, still air. Oh God, she prayed. Oh God, help me. I'm stuck. I've really blown it this time. Literally. The piston rod poked through the engine casing like a broken bone. She sat on the side of the road and waited. Halfway between Catherine and Alice, there weren't many passers-by. She doubted she'd get any help very quickly. And if someone came, she worried. Would she be safe? A young woman? Alone on the road with a busted bike? Might just be too tempting if someone had other ideas. So she waited. She couldn't do anything else. Minutes turned into hours, and then the last of her water was gone. She bargained with God. She made promises with God. Finally, she sat. There was nothing else to do. It was obvious that any hope lay outside of herself. She had nothing to offer God but a rebellious spirit and years of broken promises. In the past, she'd bargained with God, but all her good intentions had come to nothing. That evaporated as soon as circumstances had changed in her favour. And now it dawned on her, out in the desert, she was utterly dependent upon God's mercy, on His forgiveness, on His very real and active intervention to save her, a sinner, a runaway sinner on a motorbike. She'd always taken God for granted. She knew the Bible stories, but she felt she could never keep her end of the bargain. She'd been taught the Old Testament, and she sat under endless sermons about how to live a life pleasing to God, and she tried and failed and tried and failed and tried and failed again. Again and again she was undone by her own appalling inability to be pleasing to God or to meet any of His expectations. Secretly, she'd fumed at God for making her such a miserable failure. It must be all His fault. There was no joy in her Christian life. Only pride and self-righteousness if she managed to do well, or despair and self-loathing if she felt she'd failed. Her Muslim friend had shared the same dilemma. They'd talked about it a few times. And her Muslim friend reassured her that as long as the good outweighs the bad, she would be in God's favour. But she couldn't be sure of that, not by a long shot. Wiping the sweat from her face, her mind wandered to her childhood. Her aunt had been a strict believer and a pious woman, but with a very big heart. Her favourite verse was from the prophet Isaiah. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and the wind of our sins sweeps us away. A small dust storm stirred a few dried leaves to her right. That's me, she lamented. I can't fool God. I'm a hopeless sinner, and I deserve to die. It was one of her more honest moments, and something of the truth of what she said settled her. She felt a strange relief. She could let go now of all the trying and the pretending. She could get off the treadmill of trying to be good and to please God. She could give up because she couldn't do anything to make herself better. Dead leaves are dead leaves. Minutes, perhaps hours passed. She couldn't tell. Another verse came to her mind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all who believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. A spark of hope from outside of herself. Jesus came to save sinners, she marvelled. A warmth started to fill her, and she forgot about her thirst, and she started to wonder at the thought. Jesus was God's Son. He embodied the love of God. He brought that love to the world. He could bring that love to her. He had come for the very purpose of rescuing people like her, to make sure she wouldn't be like a dead leaf scattered in the wind. In this seemingly God-forsaken place, she had been found. God had found her. A car horn jolted her from her musings, and the car slowed to a stop. It was a council vehicle, with, of all things, an empty motorbike trailer on the back. "Need a lift, love?" called the driver. He was a wrinkled old bloke with most of his teeth missing. She was a little bit worried. She looked around. She didn't trust this man. She didn't trust herself. But she did trust God, and she knew that her future was in his hands, no matter what. And inside her now was a reality that would take many years to put into words. It was the presence of a new and living hope. It was a hope based on someone outside of herself. Someone had come to her and rescued her future. Someone who had made a difference to her, a sinner.
You're listening to Face to Face, and Noel Dew's story about a friend stranded in the desert. Feel free to make a comment about today's program on our Facebook page at Face to Face Radio. That's Face to Face Radio. Back to Noel.
What I've told you is the true story of a very close friend. She learned that day that hope wasn't dependent on herself. It wasn't dependent on her performing well or on manipulating circumstances in order to meet her needs. Hope comes from outside. Hope causes us to exchange our own weakness for God's strength. Hope gives rise to patience and joy in times of waiting. It's not something that we can create. It comes to us from outside of us, from God himself. But, like my friend, we only find that hope when we're at the end of our tether. I doubt there'd be many council trucks with empty motorbike trailers cruising around the outback at any given moment. For all she knew, she might have been rescued by an angel who came that day, cleverly disguised as a council worker. Stranger things have happened, believe me. But whatever the case, she knew that she couldn't have arranged that meeting. God had done something that day, but he did something in her well before he sent the truck and trailer. He let her find the end of her tether, and there, at that place, she found she wasn't alone. Today, every day, Jesus is still giving desolate and lost people a hope and a future. He lives every day to minister this new life to us, and he sits in the presence of God, praying for us, always. He's there as our brother, the living human guarantee that we too will be with our God and Father, even as he is now. And even as he is with God, he's also with us. God with us, that's what his name means. Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. With us. Even when we're sitting beside the broken dreams of our own freedom, perhaps especially there, that's where true hope begins.
You're listening to Face to Face. Today's message, Hope in the Desert, was presented by Noel Dew, a pastor of the Lutheran Church, where love comes to life. If you'd like a printed copy of Hope in the Desert, phone free call 1800 353 350. That's 1800 353 350. Or go to facetoface.org.au. Where do you turn when everything seems to be against you? The free pamphlet I'd like to offer you today is titled Discovering Hope. As you read Joe's story, you'll discover that Jesus is worth clinging to. For your free copy of Discovering Hope, phone free call 1800 353 350 or go to facetoface.org.au. I'd love to send you one. I'm Richard Fox, and I look forward to being with you again next week for an interview with Adam. Recovery, forgiveness, and poetry all play a part in his journey from tragedy to new life. This program was produced by Lutheran Media.